Women the Engineer would like to acknowledge the traditional custodians and owners of the land on which this podcast is recorded, the Yagara and Turrbal people of Meanjin. We pay respect to their elders past and present. Always was, always will be, Aboriginal land.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Women That Engineer, a podcast all about empowering fellow and future women in engineering through sharing stories and discussing how to break bias. A little disclaimer, everyone, I do have a slight cough lingering around, so I will do my best to edit the coughs, but I really wanted to record this to be in time for Friday, so just bear with me if you hear me dying in the background. Anyway, today's conversation is all about the story of an engineer who has worked in industry for over 20 years. During that time, she has raised a family and is now the process engineering department manager at her company. Elizabeth, hi and welcome to the show. I'm really grateful to be able to chat with you today. Are you excited?
Very excited, Lily. Thanks for having me.
No, thank you for coming on. Before we start, I did want to say that when I first put together the podcast, I knew that I wanted to share your story because I see you and I see an example of what I could be in the future. And I don't see many women in leadership who are so open about raising their family and taking breaks. So I'm really, really excited to learn about your career, your journey, the challenges, and also the change that you've seen over the years. So without further ado, let's get started. The first question I always ask is, when did you first hear of engineering? So Elizabeth, how did you first hear of engineering and how did you begin your engineering journey?
Guess I first heard of engineering. I mean, I knew people whose dads were engineers, but I didn't know anyone who had a mum as an engineer. And I guess I went to an all-girls school, did all the maths and science subjects. And I remember we got to that point, grade 11, I think grade 12, where we had to start thinking about what we were going to do when we finished school. And I remember one of my maths teachers saying to our class one day, "Oh, engineering's a fabulous career for you girls." And up until that point, I hadn't really considered it for myself. And so I did a bit of research, thought, oh yeah, I like chemistry, I like maths, I'll do chemical engineering. And that's how I ended up there. So a few years later, I did find out that my great aunt, who was a teacher, had actually wanted to do engineering at uni, but, you know, she would have been in her hundreds now. So back then it was really unheard of. So she became a teacher instead. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's not something I knew about as a young kid. So, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That's so interesting. And I wonder what would happen if she said to you when you were little, be an engineer, because that's what I wanted to be.
Yeah, I don't know. She was definitely pleased when I did do engineering. So
yeah. Yeah, I bet. And so you took the advice and you started studying engineering. I'm going to assume that there were very few women that were also studying engineering at the time.
I guess in the big percentage, when you look at first year, yes, we were in the minority. But that year from my school, 9 girls went into engineering.
Wow.
Which was, I think, a bit of a record for that time. I think only 2 didn't finish. So 7 of us completed our degree. And I guess then, yeah, I remember going from an all-girls school, my first prac group that I was in was me and I think 15 males. So that was a bit of an unusual, not having been in school environment with boys since I was in primary school. It was, you know, a different way of working, I guess. But once I branched into chemical, the numbers became a little bit more even. It was still not 50-50 or anything, but it was a bit closer. But then I guess when I first started working, the company I joined, at the time I was the only female process engineer.
Yeah, wow.
And But shortly thereafter, a few more joined. So they were going through a growth phase, and there were quite a few other women engineers who joined at that time. One of them who I, was quite a few years older than me, and her story was really, she encouraged me a lot. I learned a lot from her. So yeah,
That's
worked with
cool.
some good people as a young engineer. So,
Yeah.
and who always encouraged, encouraged you to do your best and be part of the team. So you never felt, I never felt like I was not part of the team just because I was a female and everyone else was male. So
That's great. And you said you were the only female in process, but were there other females in the business or in management?
at that time, I would have to say that the only other females were either the project secretary or the admin type people. There were a few designers, drafters, but no one in the company in a high position at that, like in a management level position at that time, I guess.
Yeah. Wow. So you would have seen a lot of change over the years with more women
Absolutely.
coming
Yep.
in.
Yep.
Yeah. Wow.
And
Yeah.
moving to those higher management positions. Still not as many, I guess, but a lot more.
Yeah. And when you kind of saw maybe the lack of other women around and you saw more coming in, did that make you like inspire you to become a woman in leadership, or was that something that just kind of happened naturally as you went on and more women came in?
I think that just kind of happened. Yeah, I guess for me, I got to a point where I wanted to have kids and family became a bigger priority than worrying about whether I would be in a leadership type role. So I I mean, when I worked for the first company for about 2 years, and by the time I moved to the second company, there were more women in management roles there. So I did see that, but I guess at the time I thought, oh well, I'm going to be a mother and I probably don't want to work full time, so I can't see that I would end up in a role like that ever.
Yeah, well, not true because you are now. Haha. Isn't it crazy how
I
things end up
know.
working
It's one of
out?
those, it's one of those things, yeah. It wasn't a plan. It was kind of a, well, you could do this role. And I thought about it and went, well, I suppose I could, but I still don't want to work full time. So we'll see what happens. And I was fortunate that the business was prepared to give me a go. And here I am.
Yeah, that's great. And so that was when you came into your current role as discipline manager, wasn't it? And you're still working 4 days a week, is it?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, so I still work 4 days a week. I've been doing the role for nearly 2 years now. I did
Yeah.
have to up my hours a little bit, but yeah, it's still I still had that flexibility to be able to have my day off and work a 4 day week, which works well when you've got well, my kids are bigger now and they can look after themselves, but it's still nice to be able to do the mum things when I need to.
Yeah, definitely. And for anyone listening that maybe doesn't quite know what a discipline manager does, do you want to give us a quick overview of the types of responsibilities that you have?
I guess so I look after the process engineers for my company, and I look after mainly I try to make sure they're all working and have a project to work on. I'm also look at their development both technically and I suppose in other areas in the business, and we plan, particularly with the younger engineers. I regularly catch up with them so we can make a plan for how they might see their career progressing, and we try to make sure that we're doing what we need to make that happen. I look after training for my people, so decide what training we might be able to offer and who can do that sort of training. I also have to look after technical integrity, make sure we're following the right processes, liaise with other department managers to ensure that we've got the right mix of people. I have to interview people and employ new engineers. what else? I look after their pastoral care as well, I suppose. I like to, you know, try and help them out if there's any issues. And if there's things I can't solve, then I know the right people to go to. So yeah, there's a whole lot of, you know, I have a bit of technical involvement sometimes, but mostly these days my role as a department manager is more a people-focused role than a technical role, I think.
Yeah, cool. It sounds like a very busy role. Yeah, I think it's a cool one. I see you leading your team and I think, oh, damn, she's always busy, always on call.
Yes, I like to pretend I'm offline sometimes, but Teams is always able to find me.
Yeah, you can't hide from the team status. You can't hide. And so before you came into your discipline manager role, what have been some of that might be relevant to this question, but what have been some of your career highlights? What's something that has really stood out to you in your career, either leading up to where you are now or including where you are now?
That's a hard one. I guess highlights probably for me when I was promoted to a senior engineer. I think that really made me feel like I'd got somewhere and achieved something. I think you know, as a graduate, you know technically what you have to do, but you know, you still, it's a lot of experience to gain and a lot of you know, learning on the job and things like that. And so to get to that point where people feel you've got that knowledge and that ability and you can, you know, lead other people and supervise other people, I think that's a big highlight. I guess as well, when I was able to come back part-time, that was also something that I think when I did that, my kids were still pretty little, and I was fortunate to have the flexibility to be able to work part-time, which can be tricky in a project, but I guess the real challenge was, you know, a few years later when I was actually the lead on a project but still working part-time and delivered a successful project. That's something I'm proud of.
Yeah, that's really cool. Very impressive, I think. I mean, I can't imagine the workload that a lead has because my workload at the moment keeps me busy. And then to do that part-time as well as having kids is, yeah, that's really impressive. I think you should be proud.
Yeah, it was definitely a challenge. It was definitely a challenge, but yeah. To get through the other side and see something, a good result was a really good feeling. So
yeah, talked about some highlights. What about your biggest career challenge? Hi there. I hope you're loving this episode of Women That Engineer. Want to be on the podcast and share your story? No matter where you are in your career, I and your fellow listeners want to know all about it. Send an expression of interest to the Women That Engineer email, womentheengineerau@gmail.com, or fill out the expression of interest form in the Women That Engineer Facebook group, linked in the show description. Now let's continue with today's episode.
I think the balance was the biggest career challenge for me, like balancing the family with the work and having, you know, not just being the person who checked all the calcs or did that sort of work, but was able to actually, you know, be be a lead on a project and still manage to do what I needed to do at home as a mum and be there when, you know, have the flexibility that if there was something that was at school that my kids wanted me to be at, I could be at, but I could still have that ability to, you know, go to meetings and be part of a team when I needed to be. So
yeah
that's probably the most challenging thing.
Yeah. And there's the cough. So you came back part-time. Was coming back part-time just after maternity leave, or did you take time like fully off to focus on raising your family?
So back when I had my first baby in 2004, this was, the company didn't even have a maternity leave policy. There was some government I don't want to call them incentives, but programs, I suppose, at the time, which, you know, people used to call the baby bonus. So the government did give me some money. It was nowhere near what I would have earned if I'd kept working. So I did. I had my first baby, and then when he was nearly one, I did a little 3-week project that really needed doing, and did that, and then thought, oh, this was okay. And so then I was able to do one day a week, just doing some, it wasn't really project work, it was engineering, but I guess admin work. We were developing spreadsheets, and I was making sure we were checking, they were all being checked and they were suitable for purpose sort of things. And I guess then I had my second baby and again was able to work one day a week, just doing those same sort of tasks and occasionally a bit of process engineering work. And then when I had my third one in 2007, when I was ready to come back after that, the GFC had hit, and so it was pretty quiet in the engineering world, and there wasn't really anything that my boss had to put off a lot of people, and he said, you know, he really didn't have anything he could give me at that time. So I took that as an opportunity to not work and ended up not working for about 4 or 5 years while my kids were little. So then when my youngest one went to kindy, I went, I'd actually think I'd like to work again. So because I'd had such a good relationship with my company and my boss before I took that time off, I approached them and sort of said, oh, you know, I'm interested if anything comes up. And not long after, I was asked to help out on a project for 6 weeks. And I said, oh, okay, I can do 3 days a week, school hours. And they went, okay, sure. And 3 years later, I was still working on that same project 3 days a week. So it was a good way to get back in.
Yeah,
and then as the kids got bigger, I gradually increased up to 4 days a week, but still school hours. And they were very flexible like that. So yeah, that was it was certainly, and I think what's been good about that is I was exposed to a lot more young female engineers as I was doing that, and I think they all sort of went, oh, you can do both. You can you know, have kids and work as well. And
so
I hope that I've, you know, helped some people in those decisions along the way. So
yeah, I think you definitely would have. I'm listening to this like, wow, okay, even I'm thinking, oh, it is possible. So I think you've definitely,
and, you know, everybody says it's possible, you know, you can do both, and I know there are women who can work full-time and have kids, but you know, for me, having kids was something that I wanted to be a hands-on mum. So I guess having a job that I could do both was been really good, and I wouldn't change that. So, yeah. Different perspective from people who, you know, have the whole, you know, I was fortunate that I didn't need to have nannies and daycare and things like that, whereas I can see other people have done that and still, you know, come out the other side happy with the way they've done things. But, you know, that was what was the best fit for me. And, you know, it's good for other people to see that you can have that break, you can work part-time and you can still end up in a leadership role.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. And I think being a mother and your career is so personal that, you know, what works for one person might not work for another, but hearing stories that can be very different, I think, can put everybody at ease. And I think that's why sharing stories, especially your stories, just so important. Even myself, I'm listening and I'm like, oh, okay, feeling better about what future decisions I could make.
And I guess that's something that I learned as well, is you can only ask, you know, you can only ask, and if it's not right for the company, they'll tell you. But, you know, it doesn't hurt to ask for something if you want it. And most people, you know, if you've proved yourself as a good engineer, they'll be happy to have you in a part-time arrangement, you know, going forward.
Definitely. And obviously, you know, you were able to have balance and you're in a high leadership role now. But something that I think a lot of people talk about, especially if I've ever spoken about, you know, taking maternity leave or whatever with, you know, people my age, we always talk about, oh, you know, like I feel like I would miss out on the growth because of the gap. Did you feel when you came back after taking time off and as you were working part-time, did you ever feel like you missed a part of your career because you took that gap, or it was fine because you knew that that was something you were giving up to become a mum?
I guess it's a bit of both. I guess, you know, I always think that there was a young guy who I worked with, and when I went on maternity leave, he was a graduate engineer. And by the time I came across him, you know, after I'd had time off and then worked a couple more years, in some respects, it might take you longer to get somewhere, but that doesn't necessarily mean that's a bad thing. It just, you know, it's just the way, I guess, the same thing would have happened to him if he'd taken the time off. It would have taken him longer to get there too. It's not saying that you don't have the skills. I think it's just that you just maybe have to be prepared to wait a little bit longer. But in terms of learning and succeeding, I think you learn so much in those early years. And I was very nervous when I came back after a few years off, because I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm going to forget everything I knew how to do. But, you know, things change. Computer programs change. You know, when I first started work, I didn't even have a, you know, computer program. So it's some of those on the job things that you learn that you'll keep those skills forever. So even if you take that gap, you'll come back and you'll, you know, you can slot right back in. But yeah, it you might just have to take a little bit longer before they'll put you on as a lead or something like that, but you'll get there eventually, I think.
Yeah,
and you may not want to be on a project as the, you know, the leads assistant, whatever word we'd like to call it, the deputy lead, I guess.
I think that's great.
I hope that answered.
No, I definitely. I think it's great. I think you're so real, you know, about how, you know, yeah, like in reality, you probably are gonna, you know, see someone be promoted earlier if they have more time to work, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you're behind because everyone's path, everyone's journey is their own, you know? I think that's what you're trying to say.
Yeah, that's right. And I think too, people are now seeing more as well that even though you take that time off, you're, as a mum, as a parent, you know, I'm going to say if you're, you know, a male listening and you want to take the time off, you pick up many other skills, you know, while you're raising children that you mightn't necessarily pick up at in the office. And just because you've got a few years gap in your work technical CV doesn't mean you've got that gap in your life skills, I suppose. Mm-hmm. So there are, you know, I guess you learn to, there are a lot of things you can transfer from being a parent at home to dealing with people in the office. So
yeah,
make the most of that as well.
Yeah, and what's it like now being the manager, having gone through maternity leave and part-time? Is it weird being on the other side of the conversation and going, oh, you want to do this?
Well, I think the good thing is I have got that experience in that area. And I think, like, you know, the one thing I can say to people who are taking that leave is, you know, it's not never going to be wasted time, and you won't, you know, most people wouldn't regret that. And I think make the most of it. If you can, you know, if you can take that time, and, you know, you're very fortunate these days to have such good parental leave policies in place that gives you so much more flexibility in how you want to run, you know, work and raise your family at the same time. So and these days the workplace is a lot more flexible, I think, in that respect.
Yeah, that's great. And obviously you've started your career almost 20-30 years ago. Can you name two of the best changes you have seen for women in engineering in your time?
I guess the flexibility, the when I first started, there weren't very many females who working in engineering or who worked part-time. So to see that change, you know, I'm fortunate in the team that I have, you know, I think we've got about a 40% female to male ratio. So I think 60% male, 40% female. So that's a great improvement on when I first started working. And I guess as well now, there are a lot more women in higher level positions in engineering companies than there were when I first started working. So it's good to see that happening as well.
Yeah, definitely. So we're running out of time, but before we go, usually I ask what whoever I'm interviewing thinks, you know, needs to be done to improve experiences for women engineering, but I'm going to shake things up and I'm going to ask if you can give three pieces of advice that you wish you had in your early career.
Goodness, three might be hard. Let me think about it.
As many as you can.
Well, the first one I would say is don't be afraid to ask for what you want. You know, that would be my first piece of advice. Don't undersell your skills. Like if you do take time off, you're just as good as anyone else. You know, when you're ready to come back, don't think you can't do the job that you had done for years before.
I love that. Yep.
And if you see a role that you would like, and you look at it and you go, but I don't have all those skills that match that role, don't let that stop you from putting your hand up for it. You know, you've got nothing to lose.
Yeah, I love that. I think those three pieces of advice, I think you've pretty much nailed on the head what a lot of people hold them back. Yeah, those are great.
I think you just got to be confident, you know.
Yeah.
There are times still when I feel like I don't know what I'm doing. But if you can look like you know what you're doing, people will soon think you know what you're doing. So
I definitely always think you know what you're doing. I've never doubted that once.
Oh, thanks.
Okay. Well, Elizabeth, thank you so much for sharing your story and being so open. I've really loved this chat and getting to know more about you and what you've been through, and hearing how you've seen the industry change and that flexibility that's so important for that balance of raising a family. And yeah, this has been great.
As always, I will drop a post in the Facebook group wanting to know your thoughts about today's discussion. And if you're not in the Facebook group, why not join? I put all podcast updates and discussion threads in that group. If you are loving the podcast, don't forget to share it with your friends and colleagues and follow to stay up to date. I will see you all in a few weeks in the next episode. Have the best day.